Ryko Filters.
How good is it to have our friends at Ryko Filters back on board this year on the pod? And we've got the Ryko Co-Drivers Cup again.
The Covenant Ryko Co-Drivers Cup Award, which is the biggest award at Bathurst by far.
The biggest prize. I mean, not only if you win the great race, but I mean, can you imagine taking away the best looking trophy from the mountain that Ryko Filters stacked up that we've got on the set down at the KO studio? How cool is it?
Man, I'm looking at that check going, I could do with $19.36 in my back pocket.
I don't think your co-driver would share it with you, mate.
Oh, yeah, it goes to them.
No, it's going to be a good year and plenty of opposition out there. Hopefully Tander doesn't get up again for another win. But, yeah, if you want to check out rycofilters.com.au for all your filtering needs, they support the pod, so make sure you support them.
It's a good Aussie company too.
Hey, Dave, our friends at Reddick are back and they're supporting the pod again.
Yeah, how good's that? They actually made the Ryko Co-Drivers Cup check so they can actually do all that printing.
They know their stuff. I mean, they do things from print management, printing services, graphic design, which you can see on the set of our KO show with that big check that's going to be handed over to the Ryko Co-Driver Champion.
Hopefully not you, Caruso. Hopefully you don't get your filthy hands on it.
How good would it be to take away all the goodies from the great race? But, yeah, mate, they're good supporters, good Aussie company as well.
Head to redinkgroup.com.au. Penrite Oil. Why would you buy anything else? I couldn't imagine going to one of those retail stores and standing in front of those giant walls of oil and picking another brand. I couldn't do that to my car or my country. So support the brands that support us. Penrite Oil, since 1926.
What the fuck? You realise it's not just us three idiots that can see this?
What's the two shot look like?
What the fuck? Who are you?
I'm bloody Mark Scott.
They're the professionals. You're the wanker. Let them just do their job and you just sit there and talk shit. This is the most pretentious start to a show I've ever seen in my life. You two.
He hasn't done his hair though.
I have.
That is his done.
Fucking me doing my hair. I don't have hair.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Below the Bonnet, everybody. My name's Michael Caruso, and we're back again inside the KO Studios. I'm in Sydney, and joining me all the way from Freedom Town in Melbourne, in our KO Studio in Melbourne, lucky to have it, David Reynolds and Andre Heimgartner. Boys.
G'day, g'day, g'day. Michael, hey. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys going?
Fantastic.
It's a bit cold.
It's wonderful in Melbourne. We're about 25% free here. We're not all the way free, but we're about 25%.
We can leave our houses. So
we can leave our houses, but we can't go see anyone still.
Well, that's a good thing, though.
I have any friends to see anyway, but I'll make do.
It does look cold now. You both. I mean, Andre looks like he's just about to hit the slopes in that jacket. But as you can see, this is the reason why...
Low body fat, mate.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing to keep you warm.
This bloke was telling me... He's like, oh, I just got my body fat measured before. I'm like 6.5%. Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, no.
Actually, Dave.
You said you're 22%.
I'm like 22%.
What's that T-shirt you're wearing?
Me?
I just saw a little... Oh. Just have a look at that.
My little sponsor plug.
Can't see any hair, though.
No. What a stroker. Dave's got brought his helmet in and he's got all his sponsors plastered over.
My little son. It's pretty cool.
Look at that. Check out that for a
little Ryu.
Hey, guys, for everyone listening and everyone watching on, coming up on the show today, we've got plenty to go. Obviously, we've got Andre here. We're going to talk to him about how his year's going. He's had a race win, a breakthrough race win. I'm going to cover some F1, the supercars calendar, and the big, big giveaway. We're going to talk about how you can win a year free of KO. just by simply having a really shitty haircut. So, well, or not a haircut at all. But, yeah, so stay tuned. We've got a special hashtag for to announce later on.
Do I automatically win that? Because I just
have terrible hair.
I'm in the game. I'm on the grid.
With a head, with a head like that, you're always... Well, I wouldn't say in the game, but
at least
anyway.
I'm not going fully bald, but I'm getting there. What about you, Caruso? So your hair's terrible at the minute. Someone that prides himself on their, like,
appearance. You know, hair. It's very long.
Oh, you were teammates with him for how many years?
He used to get his pants tailored.
Well, I had to. Mate, like, tell me they make pants. Like, I've obviously got to get them shortened. I mean, that's not taking the piss.
That's a given.
That's just normal. Surely.
So you got what else did you get tailored?
I used to wear the woman's T-shirt. Oh, was that Dean, that one that wore the woman's T-shirt?
No, that was Dean Fiore. Hey, don't mix me up with Dino. Dino's like he's dead set a male model. Like, I shit you not, there is...
He thinks he is. There's a big difference. Dino actually he used to buy women's jeans as well because they were better fitting, apparently. 100%.
Particularly 100%. Around the crotch region.
I wonder if he used to tape it up or...
Hey, Andre.
He did go and have three kids, so congratulations.
Who did that? Oh, Dino. Yeah, he is. Hey, thanks but for joining us, mate.
I set him up with his wife, actually.
That's right. It's always good to talk shit.
Good to talk some shit.
Do you want to tell us how you set them up then? Well, before we get into the Andre, before we start chatting to you, mate, but how do you set them up? This is going to be a funny story, surely.
Well, it's not really. My best mate used to live with his wife, and one day I went and saw my mate Dez, and Dino was, you know, he was only living down the road from me, so he came with me to see my mate. And Kelly Chapman was her name. Her name's Kelly Fiore now. I had to remember that part. So after we left, next time I went back there, Kelly goes, "Who is that really like skinny guy?" And she went like this. "Who's that really skinny guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's Dino, that's my mate." And then I ended up having a date and got married. Funny story was I was Dino's witness, you know, signature on his marriage certificate. But the idiot, he wrote, like, he's obviously so used to signing his name and then his race number, and he's put his race number on his on his marriage certificate.
On his marriage certificate, he's got his race number.
100%. Like, was Dean Fiore 14? I was like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, don't tell anyone.
Because he just, you know, once he's in autograph mode, you can't stop him. He's like Rocky.
I think he was, like, super nervous and, man, it was so funny. It was such a funny time.
So good.
He said, "Don't tell anyone," so I just told everyone.
We just told everyone.
Yeah. I'll bugger him.
Hey, Andre, thanks.
He's got plenty of stories about me.
Thanks for joining us, mate. It's good to have you on. How have you been going in the past few weeks, considering, you know, the racing has stopped?
It's actually pretty good. We were just talking before. Obviously not good that we're not racing for a long time, but having a bit of time off is good. I think I was only home 4 days out of the last 8 weeks. So
yep.
Yeah. You get a bit sick of that after a while. So it's just nice to be home, I think, for Dave, especially having Ryo and just cooking your own food, I think it's pretty good.
Having routines, yeah. Good, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing.
Get sick of eating out and just know, people.
He'd probably be like me. He probably hates birthdays and Christmas because it takes you out of routine. Yeah. Is that bad?
Yeah, you're pretty hardcore with your routine, aren't you? I mean, you take fitness pretty seriously. You were just saying earlier how you got your body fat measured this morning. How consistently are you doing those types of things outside of the actual training?
Pretty consistently. So obviously it's hard when you're away. So the last year that stuff's gone a little bit astray, but over this 9 weeks just working on all that sort of stuff. So there's just so much stuff you can do. It's bloody does your head in. So there's so many things you can do.
If you were here, you could have been tucking away in these little bad boys, these M&Ms.
Oh, I love peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
Oh, they're
but,
the best.
You know, you probably wouldn't have had any anyway. They're just mean Reynolds. Because Reynolds' body fat's probably... Where do you reckon you're at the moment, mate?
22%
or something. He's a dad bod spec now.
A dad bod.
I've seen him in the ice bath.
I know.
Does Dave actually enjoy those ice baths?
He does them more regularly than me.
I love them, mate.
I'm not even like that. It's not even that hot or whatever. He's just jumping in. He loves it.
So, like, at Townsville, we had these new ice baths because the team didn't like our Solo bins that we used at Darwin, so they bought us, like, these really plush ones. And in between the rounds, because there was, like, a week in between, mine grew all this, like, mould and, like, swimmers and shit in there, and his was, like, still clean. Mine was disgusting.
Oh, so he cleans his and you don't? Is that what you're saying?
I think
I think cleaner.
I think he's just cleaner. Like all this shit started growing in mine one for some reason. It was disgusting.
All the toxins in your body, is that the problem?
Probably,
Dave?
Yeah. Yes. Disgusting. I did have a big Sunday night.
I can confirm.
Hey, Andre, you've had a breakthrough win this year. That must have been pretty cool. We've got some actual footage here, right? Because it always didn't...
Pretty flash.
Particularly at the Bend, it wasn't always the best of weekends. We've got some shots here of you at the beginning of the race here, and it was an awesome race because there was so much going on. Did that little moment there in pit lane have you worried?
Yeah, for sure. I knew that there was going to be a penalty, but the guys in the pit lane just said, drive out, Dennis. So I drove out. I'm like, ah, shit. And then I was leading a race at Sydney, and then we had a bad pit stop and lost the race win there. So I'm like, oh, here we go again. But, yeah, managed to keep out of trouble. And that's there. That was just...
I was on the other side of the garage. Obviously, I'm his teammate. But just to watch you win... It was awesome, man. Like, I was actually genuinely proud to watch you do that. It was really cool. And the way you did it in style, you know, fast in practice, like qualified on pole. Is that your first pole?
Yeah, second.
Second pole. Oh, that's right. You had one at Sydney last year. Second pole position. And to win the race was epic. And to have a five-second penalty against your name and still win. So,
forgot how to drive since then, though.
You forgot how to drive. How is it, though? Like, motor racing is just full of surprises. You go from winning a race to,
just
like...
driving away from people.
To Stone Muller's last the next race at Darwin. It's demoralising. It's probably one of the worst sports we've ever chosen.
It is bad.
It is so bad.
Real happy about it, but I think I'd almost trade it to just be more consistent. It's been good, but, Jesus, we've had some struggles lately. It's pretty frustrating.
But it hasn't always gone good for you at Tail and Bend, has it? Back in 2018, you had a bit of an incident in pit lane.
Yeah, with old Garth. I always remind him about it. I think he's getting a bit sick of it now.
Is he?
Is he? I think we've actually got some footage, haven't we, Jeremy? You can throw in there, mate.
It's actually been made a GIF.
Has it really?
Yeah, with me smashing into the back, yeah.
No way.
It's the best.
Oh, we'll have to run it, but I think Jeremy's... He's
flat out, mate. Here we go.
He's joining us.
Oh, no, the radios are this.
I'm getting this lap. I'm absolutely thrilled the back of you. Have a look at the back of the car. That guy is a knob.
Midlane's
clear at the moment. Go, 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 go.
This is good.
Line, just send it. Go, 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 go. You're up.
And then he crashed again.
To be fair, though, he just pulled out in front.
Bring in this lap. What happened? Was that an entry? Yes, an entry. Sorry.
You just feel like the biggest dickhead.
The only thing that
makes me feel better about that is Shane's done it and a few others have done it.
We've all done it. We've all had big shunts in pit lane.
It's because there's a new track and you don't realise how short...
Oh, it's a new track. That's the excuse.
Yeah, it was. And it's such
he's a
short
race car
lane.
Driver. Come on, mate.
It's quite a big Liberace.
But the problem is I couldn't go to the side because there's a wall there. So of it's course. Like either you hit the wall or you hit him.
Yeah, well, that's probably the better option.
He probably saved you from getting a drive-through penalty because you would have been speeding for sure. But then to go and win the race, it's, you know, you can all put this all behind you, I suppose.
But it's always hard. Like, you know, let's talk about that because you always say, Dave, there's tracks that you go well at, right, and there's tracks that you hate, you know, and you got these predetermined expectations because, you know, you go shit at one certain circuit. Obviously, at that particular circuit for you, Andre, you know, like you didn't have the best runs and then to come back and to get a race win, especially at a time in this year when we've seen another Kiwi dominate. You know, Shane's had some mega form this year and to grab a race win away from him was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I kind of knew going into that race he was going to have a good race because we always share a car. And he's, like, really excited to go race there. And I'm sort of like, oh, yeah, it's a good track, but I never go that good there. But he's like, yeah, our cars are good. And I just knew he was going to have a really good, strong weekend just because of the mental attitude, I suppose, he took into that race. So
yep.
But yeah. It doesn't matter sometimes if you go to a track you're normally bad at, well, and you're like, okay, this is the year, well, I'm going to change it. Yeah,
Darwin. The very next round we turned up and like, oh yeah, we always go good here, the cars aren't too bad, and then we qualified.
David goes good there.
Like, and then we qualified 25th and 26th.
Yeah.
It's like, really got us.
So you weren't trying less.
Hey?
Nah.
We weren't trying any less. Nah, absolutely no way.
No,
but since he won the race, he probably
it?
Just feathered out a little bit and goes, oh, I don't have to win
got
so much
fat,
anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does show. Not like, you don't have to be much off to go from winning, literally, no. to the back of the field. It's so...
The classes are so close now. Yep. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Probably what was really good for us at our team, going average at Darwin, was actually really made us make changes, didn't it? It's going to really make us make changes, try some new things, going into Townsville. We did that and, you know, my car's a lot better, but yours probably wasn't. Still, I think you made too many changes to your car.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Andre, because you're teammates with Dave this year and obviously sharing a truck or a car with him must be pretty interesting, but we actually spent a couple of years together as teammates as well down at Kelly Racings, which is pretty good.
Do you have any Michael Caruso stories? Come on. He's a very, very...
I just remember him being very flamboyant.
Flamboyant. Well,
Did he ever go off and then storm out?
Yeah.
Did he really go like mental and then storm out?
Not often, but nah. You know, everyone has a blow up once in a while.
Really? I never blow up.
You never blow up?
Good calm. Well, what's the point? Doesn't achieve anything.
Oh, he's Italian.
Yeah.
Just gotta let it. Shit, here we
it's
go.
Like he won a Formula One Grand Prix.
It was the Formula One Grand Prix of Sydney Motorsport Park, you know? That was it that weekend.
Let's compare it to your fist pump, see how you went.
Huh?
It's probably nowhere near.
Did you do any? Do you remember?
Yeah. But I didn't know if I won 100% because I don't know about the penalty.
Yeah,
so
true.
Crossed
so when
the
you
line,
crossed the line,
like,
you didn't know. Yeah, okay.
But, oh, well.
Oh, we've got footage of you. Here we go.
Yeah. This is the second one I did.
Yeah, boy.
I actually missed the main one, but that's all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, so you did get a bit more excited.
Yeah.
Can you recreate the main one for us? What'd you do?
Nah,
not doing it. Nah.
Can't dance.
He's too cool. It's going to mess up his hair.
Yeah.
It's how's it going this year at the team, like both of you working together? Because, you know, you've obviously two very different characters, but you seem to be getting along quite well and working together, particularly, you know, you've got the Groves coming into the team. There's a lot, lots of differences happening. You've been teammates with Rick for so long, working closely with him. How are you guys enjoying it?
Well, yeah, I sort of known Andre. He was my teammate back in 2015 when he first joined the series, when he was at Super Black Racing and I was on the Bodlow side at Ford Performance Racing. So I kind of known him from there. So I've had a lot to do with him, I suppose, in the past, and he hasn't changed at all, I'd like to say. He's probably...
Has Dave?
...grown a beard and...
Other than his dad bod.
Yeah.
Have I changed a bit?
You hate things a little less.
I hate things a little less?
Yeah, you're a bit like... You bit just hated everything back then.
Really?
Yeah, everything other than racing was inconvenient.
Everything other than racing.
Really? I can't remember. Try not to hate anything these days.
But it's interesting going from Rick. Rick was very much like me, like pretty quiet, reserved, just very, very, very on time, very organised. And the first few rounds, I'm like, I don't know if I can deal with Dave now because he's just so unorganised, not on time. And then I think I've trained him up well, like a good dog, that he actually comes half right to the car when we leave in the morning. He's actually there earlier than me sometimes.
I'm always there. Yeah, I'm always there.
So do you
just shake it yourself?
When I was teammates with Simona, she was really she had really bad time management. So I used to have to tell her, and you would probably remember this, because there'd be a few times we'd all have to get in the same car. We'd have to tell her 5 minutes before we're going to leave. So if we're leaving at 8 a.m. We'd say we're leaving at 7:55. And then she'd turn up at 8 a.m. Yeah, so
it's bad.
Really?
Yeah,
Simona was that bad.
Yeah, she wasn't a morning person. She didn't getting up and out of bed.
And she always slept.
She slept in the truck as well during the race.
Did you massage her while you're in there? What do you guys get up into there?
Mate, she's a professional. As am I, mate. But no, look, it was interesting because you guys didn't want to actually come. We had a whole A trailer, and they're pretty big, but you guys wanted to run your own little show, you and Rick, over in there. And we used to make jokes about all the time because you had carpet, or you still do, carpet laid down on the floor, brand new cupboard system with air conditioning integrated with special lights in the A-trailer, and ours was literally, it was like a shipping container.
Yeah.
That was the difference.
So you two are the forgotten sons of Kelly Racing, were you?
Well, we weren't in the boss's trailer. Were we?
Oh, that's
the
problem. That's
and he came in and took Todd's spot, so he got to dropped into the you know, the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. It was fucking luxurious.
They always had the you know when you go get a hire car and you get there and they're like, oh, you know, you've got a you know Suzuki Swift or whatever, and they're like, no, no, here's the Statesman. Here you go. Yeah. And we'd be driving around in the little two door. Piece of
Nissan
shit.
Micra. I think I remember passing you guys one day at Tasmania and you're in a Nissan Micra. It was not like,
we're probably in a Leaf. We're probably in a Mitsubishi Leaf, mate. One of those electric things.
Yeah. Even worse.
Do they sell any of them?
Nah.
No, I don't think so. No.
No.
What do you think of the Kelly selling out?
It's interesting. I'm more mixed emotions than you because you don't really have much of a strong connection with them right now. Yeah.
So you're very, very, obviously very close with Rick, very close with Todd, and obviously Brenton and Stephen have come in and it's sort of, they're very different personalities, aren't they?
It's a very different way of managing a team. I think it's very, like it's transforming the team a bit, I think, and everyone sort of noticed it. Everyone maybe a bit more on edge just with the style they are, but I think the style's good. It's going to end up probably in results.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a bit of a change, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, Todd and Rick were just really good, and the whole family I knew well were really nice people and helped me a lot. So, and they were easygoing, and you know,
yeah, very easygoing. Todd's very easy, isn't he? But nothing's a problem. And
when you say it's a change of style, what do you mean exactly? Like, can you?
Well, these guys are just a bit more hustlers, I guess. Like they're you know businessmen. They just want to get shit done, I guess, and they're you know not afraid to push people's nose out of joint to get it done. So. Yep. Just from that evolves a different style, I guess. So
yeah,
it's good.
It's really good. Yeah, I suppose like when I first got there, everyone was very relaxed, very almost too relaxed, and it's kind of almost given a bit of a spark into the team. And people seem to be doing a lot more these days. And well, not that I can really judge from what was going on last year, but you know, last year was a pretty bad year. But when you built the new cars, built the engines, we all went on the road. Like you can't really compare year on year.
No.
Do you reckon this was always a progression thing for the Groves to take over completely? I mean, they obviously came in and bought 50%. Was that always a thing?
Well, I didn't even know whether they bought 50% when I signed the deal. Did you know that was happening? Neither of us knew. And as soon as they bought 50%, I'm like, these people don't muck around. They're the type of people that are going to buy 100% of it and almost rule the roost. So
they don't want to have 50-50.
No. They want to have decisions and make them and don't have to, like, cross any T's or dot any I's. They just want to do it then and there. So as soon as they bought 50%, I knew they were going to come buy the whole thing. I didn't think it was going to happen that quick, though.
Yeah. And so when you say the Groves are, you know, embedded in the team, they have a different style, are they there on a day-to-day basis literally running the team or is it you've still just got your team manager running the show?
Well, there's still Todd. Still Todd runs the show.
Yeah.
Brenton comes in every now and again and participates quite a lot in all the debriefs, engineering debriefs, all the driver debriefs and everything. Steve comes on the weekend. I haven't really seen him. I've seen him a couple of times there at the workshop, but I think he's sort of...
got his own stuff to run.
Yeah, he's got his own stuff to run. They've got a huge business. You were there last week, were you? Is it really impressive?
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to go check it out.
Shit going on everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Is this in Melbourne, I'm guessing?
Pakenham,
Melbourne.
Where they build all the schools and stuff, it's incredible.
Yes.
So what changes, I mean, for both of you, what changes are you expecting, I guess, the sale or the, you know, I guess the Groves taking over 100% of the team going forward? Have they said anything to you, like what's going to happen, or is it just business as usual?
Well, the thing they've said to us the most, I suppose, would be that they're going to have a heavy investment in the racing business, so... that means probably bringing in more personnel, just having almost, carte blanche with the budget, Cate Blanchett with the budget.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? Have you seen the movie?
No.
Oh, it's Off Jump Street.
It's what? Doesn't what movie? Matter.
Off Jump Street.
All right.
22 Jump
really?
Street. Or 21 Jump Street. Yeah, it's funny as. No, but their intentions are really good. Their intentions are full on, but... you know, I think we're going to benefit the most out of them.
That's
so
it.
So I actually can't wait. It's fantastic. And Brendan's actually, like, for a young kid, he's only 23, 24?
24, 4, 5.
Something like that. He's very, very smart, very confident, very, very articulated kid. So, you know, he comes into all our debriefs and he actually tries to coach us a little bit. And we, after every session, we go through all the footage and everything and all the data, just us three. And it's we get a lot of benefit out of that because most of the time you sort of get given the car and you don't really think about driving it that much. You're just trying to, you know,
improve the car.
Just drive the max out of it all the time. But sometimes, you know, driving the max isn't getting the max out of it. You got to, like, drive it at 95% to get the front end better so you can get the exit and make all your apex. And he actually just almost holds us accountable for our job, which is pretty much good. I rate that.
Hey, perfect. Andre, your contract's up this year. But going back, you know, you haven't had the easiest of runs, you know, maintaining your seat and getting in.
Yeah.
How much different or how different is it for you this time around, you know, going into it, you know, thinking about your next contract than where you have been in the past? Is it, you obviously had a good start to this year. You're 10th in the championship. So where do you see yourself?
It's different. It's not like, not, I reckon, it's just as stressful, but it's not like you're stressing to stay in the category as such. It's more just stressing about the finer details. And but yeah, it's a different thing. It's a really good problem to have. Obviously, a few years ago, I was worried about keeping a seat and trying to find sponsorship to help to do stuff. But now it's probably a little bit simpler, I'd say. And you know, you probably have a few more options, you know, than you did before, and it's just a bit more straightforward. So it's a nice position. But
so you're telling me there's options.
No.
Yeah, so are you...
he's trying to pump up his price.
But can you say, like, obviously you'd be speaking to, I'm guess, either Todd or, you know, the Grove family. Does that change at all? Do you speak now directly with the Groves or does Todd sort of move out of that role?
Oh, well, look, the team at the moment is still in a transition phase, so it's not till the end of the year, actually, that it'll swap over to fully the Grove side. So it's as it was before. We're still obviously talking amongst the people who own it currently, which is obviously Todd and all those guys. So that's sort of how it works at the moment.
It's actually funny because we've got the same manager, Big Johnny Ruggiero. Mm.
Oh, same manager.
Yeah. Johnny only manages two people in the category, and that's me and him.
Well, that works out well. He doesn't
that's
have to walk
him,
up and down. He doesn't have to walk up and down pit lane. Spend his time the one
pretty
yard.
Easy.
Calls one bloke.
But there was a time, was it a few years ago, when you're like, oh, I'm not going to do this racing shit anymore. I'm just going to do finance.
Yeah, well, that's because I didn't have options. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So
and that was a legitimate like path he wanted to take. He wanted to.
I got qualified, everything, and I was meant to leave on the Gold Coast weekend. That was meant to be the last race in Career Cup ever.
Yeah.
And it was all done. And then I...
did so well in the main race.
Yeah,
do you remember that when he smoked everyone?
Yeah,
in
you got a podium. That was your podium, wasn't it? Your very first podium in supercars.
Yeah. And then Todd rang me up and then it's just gone from there.
So isn't that funny? Hey.
It's funny how you can... Like, I was 100% okay, just dead set, had everything else lined
up. About to walk away from it all.
But it is... You're spot on. It is right. Our sport is probably one of the only sports in the world where a result can literally change everything, the outlook of your future. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about the reverse. You went from winning to qualifying, you know, you both qualified last and second last. Do you know what I mean? Like it's...
And then you can't. Then it's perceived you can't drive for the next 2 months until you race again.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? It's the hardest sport to mentally deal with.
And to get those results, it's not like going playing cricket or tennis. Like I can't just go train a bit more and, you know, pull it out of my bum. Like it's got, there's so many different things that have to line up to get the result that often it's not even in your control. So it's one of those tricky things.
And that's why I hate the teams that always win.
especially when you're not in them.
Yeah, especially when you're not in them.
What about teams? Can you tell us, what are your chances of staying at Kelly's or are you talking to other teams as well?
Well, you'd be stupid not to have your ear to the ground, but my priority is definitely stay at Kelly's. So
because you like me so much?
No, I just like the place.
Said straight away.
I've been there a long time. I believe in their vision, the Groves vision going forward, and I think it will be the place to be in the next sort of 4 or 5 years. So
you're not talking to Triple Eight then? Because where everyone's sort of, you know, everyone's speculating who's going to go and take over Jamie's role.
I don't know who's taken over him.
So you're not in the framework at all there? Oh, that's disappointing. We wanted to break a good story.
I don't know. I heard Earl was the last one, but...
Earl Bamber? Mm. What, to take over Triple Eight? Wow. That's a big call.
Well, it'd be better than Brock, wouldn't it?
Possibly, yeah. Most of the time, international people don't go very well because they don't really understand our category or driven it much. But if you slide into the best car in the field, in one of the best teams, it might...
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
I see Brock as a fit because, you know, they've not only running him in Super 2, but, you know, he's... For them to even put the 888 number to it as well, I know this is, you know, being full conspiracy theorist with the outfall hat on like Dave, but I would have thought that they're just gearing him up, and especially knowing that the you know, the Gen 3 car is going to come out, that's got to be the best time to drop someone in.
Someone new, definitely.
Yeah, you know, everyone's going to have to start fresh. I know it's not going to be until later in the year, but... you know, it's probably the best time to drop someone into a car when no one actually understands it.
Well, if you look back in 2013, when we had a few young kids first join the category, there was Percat was one.
Mostert,
McLaughlin, Pye by memory.
Yeah, Pye.
And a lot of those young kids won a race that year because, you know, the field was so scrambled, the cars were so new to get on top of that it sort of made everyone learn the ropes again. So if you're going to learn, you might as well chuck a young kid in when it's all changing. Yeah. So it's probably not a bad idea.
True.
And he's not a bad steer either.
No, and you'd think that 888 are going to be on top of it considering they're homologating the car. I mean, if anyone's going to be on top of it straight away, you know, I would have thought that they are. And speaking of which...
Here we go.
The Gen 3 engine actually ran the other day at QR. We've got some footage of it. Jeremy's got... Well, actually, we can hear the engine running because it is quite a bit... It sounds quite a bit different. So, it's...
I don't know. What do you reckon about that?
Sounds a bit dead compared to the... Yeah.
Sounds like they're short-shifting.
I'm glad you said it.
It sounds like the Super Tourers. It's the same sort of shit we had going on over there.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It sounds like a Super Tourer. What'd you rev the Super Tourer to?
I can't remember. It was such a long time ago.
Oh, really?
It shifted when the lights came on.
I mean, it does sound like they're not revving. I mean, at the moment, we're at 7450 or something to shift gears and... you'd suggest that that's somewhere, you know, six.
On a side note, those are the best cars.
What, the Super Tourer cars? Really? Why?
Well, it's cheap. Cheap, all done. They're like 300, 350.
Really? Yep.
And just the best racing. They had a Hankook tyre, so you could just abuse the shit out of it for like 30 laps and do your fastest lap on the last lap.
Really?
It was the best, yeah. And it was just close racing. It's good.
But on that, Andre, do you reckon we're heading down the right path or supercars are heading down the right path with Gen 3? From what we know about it?
Well, yeah, I don't know a hell of a lot about it, but it feels like they're kind of, the costs are going to be not where they think it is, which is what happened with the last generation. So I don't know. I think, if they're trying to make it cheap, I don't think it's going to be cheap.
But... So you actually rated Super Tour and loved it?
Yeah, it was good. Oh, really? They were actually way better race than the, you know, when I was doing DVS and Super Tours. Yep. It was way better than DVS.
Yeah, okay.
It's great.
Well, nice. So that's good news. I actually haven't thought about much Super Tourer stuff or spoke to many people that.
But that was the best case study ever of it working. Yep. And at the time is when V8s over here brought out their car of the future, which was meant to be what the Super Tourer was. Yes. So when we brought this out, everyone was like, "What? Why don't you just run that?"
And why did Super Tourer fail?
Super Tourers.
Yeah.
Or just the old classic two categories trying to run in one small country never works.
Never works. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. But I guess, but knowing what we do know about Gen 3, I mean, they're going to be as fast. I mean, I don't believe the Super Tourers were as quick. Is that right? They're a little bit
about
slower.
About half a second, 8 tenths.
Slower. But was it easy to, I mean, you said that you could do your fastest lap at the end. How was the actual racing in terms of you could get tucked in behind aero? Because we talk about aero.
No aero wash.
No. Really? No aero problems, no nothing. No heat. They probably had no heat dramas because it doesn't get hot in New Zealand.
It's always wet.
It's always wet.
It's always rainy. They're all wet experts when they get here.
Long white Yeah. That's why they're all weird. So good in the wet. Yeah, but every time they get in the wet, they hose everyone because all it does is rain over there.
I don't think it is because it always rains. There must be a reason because even in like Porsche Carrera Cup or the one below, I was watching it. I remember at Phillip Island, that New Zealand dude, Callum Hedge, just hosed everyone and it went wet and he's from New Zealand.
Because it rains all the time.
But it's not because it rains.
It bloody well rains.
I've raised more hair in the rain than in New Zealand.
No, you haven't.
So then what? So is it no bullshit? Is there a theory on New Zealand is being better in the wet because it's, you know, you get so much practice over there, or what? You reckon you just...
Look, we haven't come together in our own community thing and discussed this matter, but...
well, that's not how us Aussies see you. We see you guys congregating always together, you know, deciding who's going to win. Well, this Kiwi is going to win the Supercar Championship this year and you know, and helping each other out.
Just pick and choose.
Well, you do know what Kiwi stands for, which you probably need a lot of in the wet.
What?
Keen interest without intelligence.
To all our Kiwis.
Well, that's what you sounds like you're from Newbury.
you need like a lot of guts and you need a lot of stupidity to go fast in the wet.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel good.
You two must get along like on fire.
Yeah, we get on really well, actually. It's pretty easy to deal with him. He's pretty easy. No stress guy. What do you reckon the new calendar?
I love what's happened for us.
I actually love what's happened.
Yep. Why do you like it so much?
Well, many, many reasons, but the calendar events we go into are stronger for our team.
It's all about you.
Race car drivers.
So that's good. So if they bring back Phillip Island, which I don't know is what the talk is.
Yep.
I mean, that's supposed to be in TBA section in the 23rd
so
of October.
So then that'll be awesome. But, you know, as Dave said, when we had these last few rounds that really struggled, we have looked at so much stuff in the car, and I think Alistair and Dylan and everyone's come up with, you know, there's a laundry list of stuff that we've got to do, but we're just running out of time basically between the events. So now we actually have time to almost do everything by the next round.
Yep.
So we should have some good upgrades. I've got a new car that will be finished at the end of this week. We'll be able to shake that down, test some stuff. Like it just gives us like the good time we needed. Otherwise, we would have been probably two events to the end of the year before we had our all our upgrades. So now we get more rounds with our upgrades and to understand stuff, to process information and to understand, for example, why Dave was good at last round and you know, our car wasn't.
What I really like is, for once, instead of the sport being super reactive, they're actually proactive and they've postponed the series and gone, okay, we're going to wait till the end of the year and flog out all these other events and really plan it. And they've got, they've sort of sat back and really thought it out and they've, you know, start at Winton, hopefully go to Phillip Island, then Bathurst, then Sydney, then Gold Coast, smash it out all out within, you know, a 2 month period and be done with, instead of, you know, forcing people on the road away from their lives and their families. And it's actually one of the best things I've seen happen in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job. And the biggest win is probably for the fan, let's hope, I mean, considering how far away Bathurst has moved out a month, is you know, the big draw card event of the year is obviously the 1,000. So hopefully we can have crowds there because it feels like it's been forever, although it hasn't.
It was bad last year without
it. It was terrible last year, wasn't it? It was a ghost town. It was just
even
dismal.
Standing on the grid, normally you're getting like, you know, a bit nervous and you're like, and then the race starts, you're like, oh my God.
Everyone's watching me stuff it up.
But so this year it was just like, oh, let's just get this done. Like,
It is. It's going to
be really good.
How many people have missed out on it? Because you get people, we probably speak to people all the time, you know, where fans are saying, you know, 20 years I've gone every year and, you know, we're talking about people that literally plan their yearly holidays around camping at the mountain for the whole week to watch the race.
I speak to people that haven't missed a race since, like, 1974 or something.
Well, last year stuffed it for them.
Well, like, last year did stuff. But there were some people there, but not a lot of people. So, you know, to have the full, if it goes back to full capacity, which I hope it does, that's epic. It's the coolest race of the year. It just means so much to us and... Yeah, I'm kind of glad they postponed it. And it kind of gets them out of the, hopefully football will be finished by then, NRL and AFL, and then more majority of the focus can come onto our sport. So, you know, I think
we need all
the help we can get. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a fantastic thing.
I think it's one thing that supercar drivers don't like is spotlight. Hey, Dave?
Excuse me, Michael?
Did you see that? Little
wink. Where are you going with this?
But one thing about the calendar, and you sort of briefly went over it before, Dave, is I'm actually glad for the Victorian teams because you've spent pretty much 6 months on the road over the last 2 years already. And it was sort of coming to the point where we're seeing a trend in the championship, Victorian teams not being consistent. And this isn't a stab at anyone, but this is just purely, you look at teams, you know, like yourselves, you go really well at the Bend, win, and then the next round, nowhere. And even to that fact, you had Cam, who was the first weekend at Townsville, didn't go too well, was really out of the money all weekend, came back and won the next weekend. When you're living on the road, and you know we speak, you guys are the, you know, have lived it. But when you know I'm speaking to a few of the teams, you know, obviously down at Team 18 and Mark and everyone, it's hard to keep that consistency, isn't it? When you don't get to go back to the workshop, regroup, you know, you don't have all the tools, everything at your availability to prepare yourself for the next event. You're living out of a truck, out of a hotel room.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Caruso. And it also slows down your development because, you know, if you don't go back to the workshop, you don't have the regular flow of all the workers and everything. You can't access this machine shop like you can. It just makes everything so much more difficult. So I'm glad they're doing a few rounds in Victoria when we start off.
Yep.
Hopefully we can do Phillip Island because that is, you know, such a cool track to race and such a cool track to drive, and we haven't been there since 2019. And even last year there was basically no races in Victoria. So yeah, to do hopefully three this year will be a nice.
I mean, you look at this year, Triple Eight went testing while everyone was locked up in the Central Coast. You know, I mean, and that's not against them, but obviously they were using the time they had appropriately. Yeah. But what I'm saying is if you look from a championship perspective, and you guys are there to win along with every other race team. And for the Victorian teams, it's getting to a point where they need to, you know, I know the sport must go on and I know everyone's trying to do the best they can, but there's got to be a point. And I feel like, you know, hopefully that decision, you know, or part of what we're saying here has come into play for the calendar for this year. And hopefully next year, if there's any interruptions, that's taken into consideration to make sure it's fair for everybody involved.
Yeah, but what else could they really have done?
Well, they had to get it done, didn't they?
They had to get it done. We weren't going to go to Queensland Raceway. That was going to be a mission impossible. It's almost like they got wind that there was going to be some cases coming up in Queensland.
Here he is.
Conspiracy.
It seems weird that, you know, there was...
Yeah, because supercars, they're on the inside.
Yeah. It's AFL, then it's table tennis, then it's...
table tennis.
No, Reynolds is at the top. Sorry, not Abel. Reynolds, AFL.
I always find out first.
Do you reckon we're going to get a clean run home, Dave?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it lately. I have to have a look into the state emergency powers to find out when they end to figure out whether they're going to get any cases. Hey?
It's a mystery. Wasn't it Adelaide that had like lockdown?
Adelaide had no cases and they locked down because their state of emergency was about to run out. It's like, come on, everyone sees that coming. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know about you guys.
Internet digging.
I can't handle this lockdown much longer, mate. Like, I mean, like, have a look at this wig.
I know. Someone that prides himself on their hair. What's going on, man? Yeah. You look like no one owns you.
It's killing me at the moment. And we actually sent...
What are we... So, to be fair, I actually Google searched your face, that haircut, and it come up with, like... Mr. Casual Guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, from the dating side of it.
Yeah. So there it is.
Smart casual.
What is it?
So you're now Mr. Casual Guy.
Yeah, that's a very...
You can see what I was Googling before, bike gear and stuff.
Check that out. Smart casual. That's
beautiful.
Let's have a look at some of your haircuts through the years, Michael,
Me?
If we can. Yeah. Oh wow. No. That's a young Michael Caruso.
I thought I deleted
Strapping
all these from Google.
That's... Can you actually get them deleted?
Oh, that's interesting. That's just the buzz.
Let's go into the army haircut.
Yep.
That's... I just couldn't be bothered that week.
I was working with JRM in fairness. I couldn't afford a haircut.
Well, you had to match Holdsworth, didn't you? Who had no hair.
We both had to have shaved heads.
Starting to see some style develop here.
Oh, we got the career glasses.
Yeah, check out the career glasses, mate.
That's very in line with your...
Do you have a bum bag to go with it? What is that?
That's a bit of a queef, isn't it?
What's a queef?
There's a little joosh on the front.
What is this? Take the piss out on Caruso, Dave.
What is going on here? Now you've had the same haircut. Is this your peak form? You've been probably copying Dean Fiore.
Yeah.
Dean Fiore, no, you know, he's the mastermind.
What do you want me to do? I'm not going to cut it myself. There's no way I'm going to.
So Rick Kelly actually cuts his own hair.
I've been cutting it myself too lately. So.
You cut your own hair too? What's wrong with you guys? You don't want to pay the...
Save $40.
Do you cut your own hair?
To save $40.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're a race car driver? You're probably on 500 grand a year after tax.
After tax.
What is wrong with you to save $40? No, seriously, you cut your own hair? Like physically cut it yourself or...?
Yeah, with a shaver.
And you do the back and it's just no dramas.
Yeah, well, I get someone else to help me too.
That's kind of weird. That's very, very...
What about you, Dave?
Who helps you with your haircut?
Yours wouldn't cost $40.
Me, yeah, I'll go. I should pay $40. I'll pay 50.
I'll pay
50 down the road. I'm getting stinched.
We've actually got some Dave.
Oh, no.
I've been digging as well, mate.
Bad,
check
hey.
Out that. You, but your head... let alone your hair, has not changed that much. I mean, look, do you just go to the same barber every time?
Well, I've just got shit hair, so I'll just give up.
Literally, that's since terrible. 2011, it has not changed at all.
Well, that's a bit more... It's like Tahan styled that for you before.
I know.
A bit more wavy.
I love that... her. I love my man.
Look at it.
He's so beautiful.
Is it dead?
I'm just not cool,
eh?
I'm just not cool at all. Hey... best day of your life, that one. Greatest day of your life winning Bathurst. At least Luke doesn't have any hair.
What about having your kid? Was that not the best?
Yeah.
Actually, that was my best day of my life. I always forget that. And there's
But dead set, Dave, since 2011, it has not changed, like, at all.
What can I do with it?
No, but what I'm asking is, have you gone to different barbers since 2011 ever, or do you see this one dude?
Have I tried something?
It's like John. You go see John or someone, and it's the same guy every Thursday, whatever.
I go to different people all the time, and they end up giving me the same haircut. So
what do you ask for?
Grow in the same way.
What do you ask for?
I don't know. I just walk in. I'm like, I'm not very good with this stuff. So you're gonna have to cut it how you want to, and they always cut it the same.
Why don't you take your girlfriend?
She's always busy working or doing something. Working on a heart attack.
Speaking of which, that photo of you and your missus, dead set, you are batting well and truly above average here, mate. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I still, no one can work it out.
Nah, like, what is it?
What is it? Yeah.
What was your pickup line when you first messaged her?
I have no pickup line. I got no game. I got no style. I got nothing. I got shit haircut. I'm just a terrible person. But I'm not the only one that's batting above their average, Andre.
Huh?
Apparently you are as well. Oh, here we go.
What's this drama?
So you want to tell us a story here? You got a story to tell?
My girlfriend and a picture of Daniel.
What's the relationship between yourself, your new missus, and...
In the past, she has dated Daniel. Everyone seems to be fascinated by it, but it doesn't really...
No, it's not every time you meet a girl that's dated a Grand Prix winner. It's kind of special.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's
Does good. She tell you stories and...
No.
Stories?
No. I don't know.
It's not like James Hunt.
If my missus dated an Olympian, like, I think I'd know all the time whether she dated an Olympian or not, because I'm clearly not an Olympian.
No, it's all right. It's not really a thing, so it's all
does good. It's not really a thing.
Does she like your pet snake?
Nah, she hates it.
Yeah, she's actually petrified.
Well, have a look at this.
So, is that pet snake half owned by Renee Gracie?
Well, Renee Gracie bought it.
It's Renee Gracie bought it?
From her birthday, yeah.
What?
She went on to bigger and better things, didn't she?
Is it Renee? Hey, for those listening in and watching in, Renee is a part, she was actually
a past partner.
A past partner of Andre and also a part of Bathurst 1000 with Simona Di Silvestro. And
that cost you, him a
that
lot
cost
of money.
You 25 grand, if my memory serves me right, Dave. which was chump change for a race car driver like yourself.
Which I got 25,000 Qantas points with because I paid on my credit card.
Hey,
I didn't pay as much tax because it's a big tax deduction in my line of work.
Hey, we've actually got, let's chat about the bad hair competition because we're doing a giveaway along with KO to give away a year of free KO.
Free subscription to KO.
How good is
Can
that?
Can I win this?
Well, you already have it.
Do you have it?
No, we don't.
Well, lucky enough, all you have to do is post a pic of your worst lockdown hair. You got to tag KO and a mate that you'd like to share 3KO with, and add the hashtag better than Caruso, and you go into the draw to win a year free of KO.
Can I take
How good's that?
Can I take a photo of me and my missus in bed and like I'm better than Caruso, something like that? Or is that just not cricket?
No, mate. Here's, actually, we've got a couple of submissions already of some bad hair.
That's Jeremy, our producer.
People trying to win out, to get the three. Check that bad boy out. He's got to be living in Sydney with a do like that. This is my best mate. And so what you can do, you can actually tag your best mate or put a photo up your best mate taking the piss on them, because that's what I've done. That's my best mate, Frank Lavotti, with a terrible head of hair.
At least it looks French, so your score points being French, don't you?
For what?
Oui, monsieur. I don't know, because you're in France, something cool.
I don't know how we got off the topic of Rene Gracie owning
where are we
that
going
snake,
anyway?
But anyway.
Did you watch F1 last night, Caruso? Did you have any ganders at that?
What's that? Sorry, mate?
Did you have a geese at Formula 1 last night?
I did. If that's not the best race. I mean, last race, the shunt was pretty good because that made it exciting, but how good was the race last night? Unbelievable.
It was amazing.
Anytime there's a new winner, I bloody love it. Like Esteban Ocon, I think he's the 111th winner of the Grand Prix, and it was just epic. I loved it from start to finish. It was just the crash at the start and then the red flag, here's the crash at the start. Bottas just stuffed it up badly, didn't he? Just...
So you reckon he's stuffed it up or what?
It's very convenient he took out the two Red Bull cars.
I mean...
Well, he couldn't have done that on purpose.
Obviously. Hey, no, you can't do that stuff on purpose. Nah. There was like seven different crashes here because there was that one.
And then the one in the
there
back.
There was Lance Stroll, and that's where Ocon turned the corner to win the race. Like, literally, it was the strangest start of the race I've ever seen in my life.
But and then the next strangest thing was the...
The next start of the race. So when they red flagged it and they had Hamilton that didn't pit and everyone else pitted
but
when they
why
when
didn't
they took
he pit
tires.
Though? Why? Like he would have known that Verstappen was in trouble.
They don't have radio on the outlap apparently.
They do they?
Apparently
they,
not.
They do have radio because...
Yeah, I mean, this I is think, the strangest thing I've ever seen at a Formula 1. So I don't know if this has ever happened, but seeing one car...
I think everyone loved this though.
Everyone secretly loved it because they knew...
He wouldn't win.
Yeah, but I kind of thought he was still going to win because their cars are so good, but I'm glad he didn't. But, I mean, like, the race was actually coming out of pit lane. That was the race. Look at this. This is unbelievable. I've never
Shame
seen
Russell
like
had
this
to give
before.
Up the spots.
I know. It was a bit shameful. And why was that?
Because I think he went down the inside of everyone that was lining up to do his pit stop.
Oh, okay, yep.
Because it
got done.
But tell me, that. Let's go back to the shunt because, again, like the implications that had on the championship were pretty big, let's be honest. We thought it was going to be a two-horse race between Hamilton and Verstappen. Obviously, Bottas was quick all weekend, so qualifying second. But that run, I mean, how can you explain how hard it is? Because we, you know, watching on, it just looks like, he's just crashed in the back of him. But when it's a little bit damp and you're diving into turn one and you've stuffed the start up, because I reckon that's where it stems from.
100%. Like, I think those cars are very difficult to get off the line in the wet condition on those intermediate tyres. So, you know, he's obviously got a terrible start. Everyone around him's got a good start, so he's probably scrambling for a bit of confidence there, and he's gone into turn one. Maybe he could have been looking at something else, not sure, but he's just stuffed up the brake marker and just drilled the back of...
And there's so many white lines there, see? So he might have just got on the
white line and grabbed
him.
Drilled the back of Norris.
I'm surprised Verstappen could keep going after that. Like,
Verstappen's car was absolutely knackered after that. Like, he had no pace the entire race after that, so... It goes to show you how sensitive those cars are when you miss wings, miss parts of the floor. And, like, I had it in Townsville a few weeks before. I had a little crash on the outlap. I had about three different ones, actually, on the first flying lap. And it just ruins your car, even though nothing's really that badly damaged, but some of the toes might be a little bit on the piss, and it just ruins the setup of the car. It makes it brake really bad. It uses the tyre up, creates extra heat where you don't want it. So that's why Verstappen looked very ordinary last night. And Hamilton was able to come past and basically drive himself up to the podium, which kind of But did you see him on the podium?
Well, just before we end the podium, Dave, how do you reckon Christian Horner was feeling when he watched two of his cars get taken?
And he was, because he was fuming the whole last few weeks, even since that last crash at Silverstone where their car got taken out. Mm-hmm. He was fuming bad that like nothing was really badly done to Hamilton. He got a 10-second penalty, which is really not much at the end of the day because he still won the race. So, and then to come here, I think I watched one of his interview after the races, and he was talking about taking it further to the FIA that, you know, something really, really drastically has to be done, because out of this he's lost the championship lead and he's lost the Constructors' Championship lead. So
it's big money.
It's big
money in this
game. But
what could they possibly do? Like, if someone's made a genuine fuck-up, let's be honest. Like, unless there's a statement tomorrow coming out, Bottas has re-signed with Mercedes.
So you think he's going to get re-signed after taking out the two?
Well, he's got that's his best shot. I'd be ringing him tomorrow.
Sometimes it plays to play second field.
Be a company
it?
Man.
Yeah, he'd be a company man. He's not a casual man like yourself. He's a company man.
No, but let's be honest. What could the FIA do? I mean, there's been a crash. Their car's got taken out along with, you know, Leclerc got done as well, and, you know, a bunch of them. You know, Norris was in a good spot too. He would have been in a great little spot there for the rest of the race. So, big deal.
Did you actually watch the rest of the race?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, it was actually a really good race to watch Hamilton try and come through the field.
Mm. Especially Alonso.
Especially Alonso.
What was your question? Sorry?
What could the FIA do? If he's going to go whinge to them, what do you reckon they're going to do?
Well, there's not much they really can do, I don't think, unless they find, you know, a Dr. Fauci email that you know, that states that, you know, any time that Bottas is around Verstappen, he can crash into him and he get re-signed. I don't know about that. But this battle on screen now is probably epic. It was really good to watch. He held him up, basically cost Hamilton the win here.
Which is brilliant
because there's not a lot of Hamilton fans, is there?
No, I reckon you're spot on. This was really the point of the race where, in my opinion, we've spoken about in the last few episodes actually, about the importance, because I think Alonso put a clinic on for young kids, showing them that letting someone go around the outside of you has got to be the weakest thing you can do as a driver. And he just held him off. You're talking about a car that's much faster than his. He took kids to school and showed them, even with a slower car, you can position yourself right on the track and do the right things to hold him off for as long as he did was, I reckon, pretty cool.
It was epic, yeah.
And what it makes you think also is that, like, imagine if Alonso was in a good car.
Yeah.
Like the battles you'd have, and imagine
awesome,
Verstappen,
hey,
and Alonso, all those guys going at it, it'd be epic.
So you still rate Alonso even though he's 40?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's a freak.
He's a bloody good driver.
Yeah. And he just turned 40, didn't he, as well, like not long ago.
It was actually his birthday yesterday at the race.
But did you notice in that race, as soon as Hamilton started having some issues, the complaining over the radio? It was like listening to Caruso's radio.
Hey, he's a race car driver, mate. We've heard enough out of you guys already this episode.
I reckon he would have complained heaps during the race.
All the mechanics used to say that being a mechanic on the other side was Simona and Caruso, and then coming to our side, it was like chalk and cheese. It was like
hang
hysteria,
on a minute, mate, because we were
yelling,
carrying the team. That's why. That's what the pressure of carrying four cars does to you.
This makes you angry.
This is like music to my ears. I love this shit.
But honestly, I reckon that was a good part of the race. And Ocon taking the win, I mean, his very first race win, there's no way he would have turned up that weekend thinking he was going to win at that joint.
No. I wonder what his odds were. I didn't even look, but that would be
good,
astronomical. Imagine if you put like a cheeky few hundred bucks on him. Oh, you'd be millionaire. Not millionaire, but you'd be doing pretty well in life. But he drove a clinical race. Like, Vettel's car was faster than his.
Yep.
And he held him off the entire race. It was literally a 70-lap battle for the lead, which was, you know, epic. Unfortunately for Vettel, he got done at the end of the race.
That?
He got disqualified. So
they could only
take us through it?
Yeah, they could only take 300 mil of fuel out of his car after the race, and they need to be able to take 1 litre to assess it.
Imagine that.
That's so rough.
So it's only to test the fuel, they need a litre.
Yeah.
So everyone must finish with a litre, and they had 300 mil.
Well,
if you did that in our sport,
I guarantee you there would have been a few teams in pit lane that would have got away with that. if that had happened in supercars.
You're naming any teams here, are you?
I'll leave that up to everyone teams listening and watching to choose who they believe. But, yeah, I just think, you know, we've seen even things this year where things get let go to people on podium and stuff like that. What I'm saying is that's pretty, yeah, that I'm surprised that they've appealed it, mind you, as well, as in the team.
I would have thought that'd just be a race fine or team's points or something, because it didn't alter the outcome of the race.
No, it doesn't, no. But they can still, like, how much fuel do they need to test?
Yeah.
They only need like a tiny sample, but for some reason they need a leader. Like, that seems far-fetched for me. It seems like they're not doing a very good job testing if they need a leader.
That's where you'd hope.
It's like when you get your coronavirus test. It's like it's such a heavily transmitted disease, so easy to catch, but they stick this thing like so far at the back of your nose and scratch your brain. It's like, don't have to just breathe on you to find out whether I've got it.
Mate, I think that's just you. They just keep pushing it back to try to find.
There's nothing there. Like,
find a brain.
Do you want to have a look at... have we got an Ocon fist pump? Did he do anything good or...?
Yeah.
Oh, look, he looks pretty happy.
He's not as happy as Michael Caruso after his TCR race.
That was bigger.
Yeah, look at that, boys. That's how you win a race.
Woo!
Hey, speaking of celebrations, you guys have been watching the Olympics. Honestly, if you looked up and you saw your manager cheering like the coach did in the you know, the Aussie swim coach,
you'd be stoked.
Wouldn't you be stoked? You'd be like, that's...
You'd be happy.
Come on.
You'd be
but
so
I,
happy,
if I was the coach, vice versa, and I looked down and I saw you guys, you know, just going... like that. I'd be like, the fuck? He's whinging to me. He's not making enough money. He's always whinging about, you know, he wants his red M&Ms in the bloody jar next to him in the race truck. You know, he's not getting paid enough, all this stuff. And then you just give us one of those after a race win.
Yeah, I know. I get what you mean. It does look funny though, but if I won a race, I kind of not like...
Yeah,
I'm kind of more relieved than anything
else. More like,
it's more like, oh, finally.
What have you enjoyed most from the games? Because it's been pretty good. We've been posting memes flat out the one of Djokovic throwing his tennis racket and having a hissy fit was pretty good. But there's been pretty good, iconic moments.
Yeah, I really, really love the Olympic time. But I don't know, I might be a lone soldier here, but
here we go.
Obviously the track and field's like, it's the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Track and field swimming, that's the pinnacle. But then we've got all these other sports that are really, really professional sports that probably don't need to be part of the Olympics, like golf, tennis. What else
hockey.
Is kind of... hockey's an amateur sport, so it probably should be part of the Olympics. But there's all these other sports tennis. I just don't think they should.
What, there's too many sports or there's...
Well, it's like having a motorsport at the Olympics. Like, it's just random.
We could start V8 supercar racing in the Olympics.
You reckon?
Like, it just seems weird. But for me, like, athletics, that's the pinnacle. I love watching that. I love watching... Last night I watched a lady break the... world record long jump. No, sorry, triple jump. That was pretty special.
Yep.
But I'm actually most excited about, I think it's today or tomorrow, like Monday or Tuesday this week, the women's weightlifting starts off.
Or is it?
Or is it? Are you going to be cheering on your national weightlifting person? I was going to say women. I don't know what to say.
Well, there's a bit of controversy around that.
Do you know the story?
Yeah, I know. I've.
Have you met...
No.
Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Caruso?
No, I'm leaving this one to you, mate. You go down a rabbit hole sometimes. Let's talk about something for real, right? What about, if you're talking about great moments at the Olympics, what about, because this is saying this could go anywhere, but I want to ask you both this, being competitive sportsmen.
Yep.
We saw the high jump and we saw the two guys share the gold medal for the win. They could have gone head-to-head. They could have gone head-to-head, right, because they finished on the same attempts at the same height. So they said, okay, you can either share the gold medal or you can go head-to-head.
That was the Italian guy. The Italian guy and the Canadian guy, I'm pretty sure.
No, I think he was from Qatar, I think.
Qatar, sorry, yeah, that's him, yeah.
So, yeah, they had the choice and they had to, yeah, you could either share the gold medal for the win or you could go head-to-head and someone, you know, you have one silver and one gold.
Well, it's the Olympics, isn't it?
Yeah. But so they shared it. They shared the win is what I'm saying. Would you, like, we go to the next race, right, well, and you just... both cross the line at the exact same time. They can't split it, right, even by time. Yep. What would you do? Would you share the win or would you say, righto, we want a one-lap shootout to see who wins it?
No, I'd 100% share the win because you're guaranteed to win. Like, it's hedging your bets. Like, you're not going to go, oh, okay, I'm going to have to do this again and possibly come second and look like a loser.
Yeah, well, I think it's different in the Olympics, though. You train for something for 4 years.
But you still won.
Yeah, but you didn't,
You're the winner, regardless, if someone's standing beside you. Hey?
But you didn't win.
No, you did win.
Okay, Reynolds.
But why is someone else win as well?
Would you share?
Who came second?
No, it goes first, third. There's okay, no second position.
Reynolds, tell me this. November, first week in November, you and me cross the line.
With someone.
you and me cross the line first at Bathurst, right? You're going to share the win with me or are we going to do a one-lap shootout?
100% I'm sharing the win. Because I'm guaranteed to win.
Wait.
I'm guaranteed to take a trophy. Would you do the same?
I'll give him one of these.
But in all seriousness, when did that become a thing at Olympics that you could share a win?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous.
I assume
this great moment, two athletes like ecstatic that they've been training their whole lives, they've now got medalists, and you guys are like, this is bullshit. What?
Honestly, a real winner. Not these pretend winners.
Two countries celebrating. Nah, no good.
Yeah, but like in soccer, don't you just go until someone wins?
Yeah.
Something?
Yeah, penalty shootout.
Like, isn't that how like a competition generally works?
I think so.
Like, yeah, the winner.
I actually watched the Hockey Roos play, the men's hockey team, and they had a penalty shootout. That was awesome to watch.
The hockey,
that was really cool.
With Holland, wasn't it? I think it was. That was a great little, they dominated. The keeper saved pretty much two shots and the other one they missed, which was good.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's good to get one up on Holland.
You know what is good?
Those pot-smoking, cheese-eating, clog-wearing people.
Have you watched the table tennis?
No, I haven't. Is that good? Is that epic? Is that all time?
It's all time.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch that. When's that on?
It's a little table and they're running around. They're hitting it from like 50 yards away just on this little... It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all little Asians yelling and shit. It's brilliant.
Oh, my God. You've been in the truck too long together.
Oh, no.
Hey, speaking of haircuts...
There's
actually some really good haircuts at the Olympics. I think we've got a shot here of... The man himself,
Rowan Browning. Fastest mullet.
Check that out for a dude.
Wouldn't be good for aero, you wouldn't imagine.
A bit of
fastest mullet onto.
Or maybe it's like a diffuser.
A diffuser? It's an Efta.
But he did really cool well. I mean, I know he didn't get into the final, but, pretty cool to see him win a heat, especially out of lane one.
So he's only 21 at the minute, and I think sprinters come into their own sort of 26, 27, 28. So in the next
we might see some 100
next two Olympic games. I think he'll be right on the money they're talking about. So, but he looks super fit, doesn't he? Like,
yeah,
he looks like 6.5% man over here.
Not that. That's 6.5% man. I can't believe you go around boasting about that. But anyhow.
What's one of your favourite moments of the Olympics?
I enjoyed that. I mean, we saw the Italian guy win the 100 metres. I mean, who would have thought that an Italian would win 100 metres sprinting? No, I couldn't believe it.
Must have had some good pasta, eh?
He carb-loaded heavy.
Yeah, he carb-loaded the night before.
When they, like, pan through the shots of all the sprinters, he looked massive. Like, I'm like, no way he can run. He's way too heavy. Yeah. And he smoked everyone. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It's weird not having Usain Bolt there, I reckon.
Why?
For so many years, he's just been there and it's been like all about him. It's good, though, because other people get action. But
yeah.
Well, they had that Johan Blake, which was, you know, he finished second to him a couple of times. All those guys get a bit older and they, you know, with sprinting, it's, you know, a fast twitch sport. So they obviously have an end game or like a part of their life where they don't perform as well. So
it's about entertainment in sprinting, isn't it? Like, we had Steffo on at the beginning of the year and it's about all that. I mean, you know, did you guys know any of those sprinters in the final at all? Have you heard of them?
No. But that's part of the, you know, part of the fun, I think, is learning someone new.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never heard of Rowan Browning before, but now everyone in Australia knows him.
Yeah.
But what was really funny, did you see all the false starts they had?
Really?
Did you see all them?
Yeah, I saw a few of them.
So if you get a faster reaction time than under a tenth of a second, they deem that as you've guessed the gun and they disqualify you.
Jesus.
They disqualify you on the spot. So if your reaction time is faster than 0.01, which...
You talk about stupid rules. That has got to be the most stupidest thing. If you can guess it and get it right...
Well done.
Yeah, I mean, that's as... Yeah, that's kissed on the dick if I've ever heard of it. You're like,
I'll talk about that in a sec because we do a lot of reaction time stuff. But if you compare that to the swimmers, they had like 0.004 of a second. They basically guessed when they were going to... I think it was for the medley, the relay medley. And everyone was applauding it, so it was kind of funny. But we do a lot of reaction time stuff with our sports psychologist. He's got this like light set up and stuff, and it's just a pure reaction speed thing.
Yep.
And if it's literally impossible to get under a tenth of a second, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is literally impossible. If you can get like 0.15 is generally quite good. But most average people are sort of 0.2 of a second above that. But you know, us really
elites.
Elitist people. She always goes on about. We're always like, 1.5 tenths.
1.5 tenths
is impossible to get under. They must figure that into it. They must factor that into it. So anything under a tenth of a second is, you've guessed that. You've literally guessed the gun and you're out.
Yeah, okay.
And it's shocking because they don't give you another sec. They never give you another second chance. It's literally... You false start once, you're out.
You're out.
You know, they've worked 4 years to get to this final of the event and bang, you get
out. It'd be hard too, you're nervous.
It'd be hard to cop,
it'd be terrible.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible. I couldn't imagine it.
It'd be so disappointing.
Oh, it'd be so disappointing. I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Andre. It's been great to chat with you. Dave, thanks for turning up for work for once.
No worries. Nice. Thanks for plugging my sponsors on my helmet. They really appreciate it too.
You race car.
Just Jacks, Hungry Jacks.
Yeah. Just roll through them. We'll have them rolling down the screen.
Like, especially Grove.
Credits, you know? Like.
Did we say the Grove guys are great guys as well?
Yep, you said that. Give them a pat.
Yeah,
everyone's going good. Yeah. And everyone, don't forget to send in your bad hairstyles and tag a mate or tag us or Caruso or the show.
The hashtag hashtag Dave is better than Caruso. They have to have.
Oh, they have to hashtag that, okay.
Yeah,
that's just naturally. Everyone's better than Caruso, so that just goes without saying. That's a terrible hair.
Send in. We've got 2 weeks because this will run for the next
Is that at your office? Is that at your new office?
Is this still going on?
You're
this
a
is
at the office, mate.
So you actually have a job now.
Yeah. What do you think I do in between each episode?
Someone employed you. Hey, I just want to find out. Someone employed you.
So much cash,
mate. I'm not a paid race car driver, full time supercar driver. I can't just sit around playing.
We've got 2 months off.
I don't sit around playing PlayStation all day.
We're paid gamers for.
Yeah, that's right.
Got some bad news for you, Andre.
What?
Got some very terrible news for you. So, obviously. The series is on hold for 2 months or something, and they're bringing back E-Series, but only one driver from each team has to compete.
Is that what the rules
my
are?
My friend, it is you. It is not me, it is you. I've got you on this show to tell you. That was the only thing I actually wanted to tell you.
We'll get Brenton to do it. He's technically a driver.
Is he?
Oh, he races.
I mean,
you're in.
I mean,
you're
if he's got a car licence, he's a driver.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to paint half the car in Ned's and half of it in Penrite just to make the sponsors happy, and you're in, bro.
It's terrible.
Is that serious? How does that work? So are they only going to have half the field racing?
Well, no, that's just what I've been told so far. So
who knows?
I don't know if it's true.
There's always speculation about that, but nothing ever happens.
How can there be speculation about E-Series? Like, that's the point where I'm going. Like, we're normally speculating about, you know, what's the Gen 3 going to look like? You know, where are we going to go racing? Are we going to race again? And we're here speculating who's going to roll up on the grid of an E-Series computer game.
It's COVID, mate. Everything's weird.
It's COVID. Yeah. Everything's weird. But I'm glad I'm not partaking in that this year.
At all. So you won't even turn up, won't even do a stint.
Guest round.
I told everyone I've passed away until October. I'm not here. I'm currently unavailable. My phone will be off if someone rings, and it's ringing right now.
Hey, our next show, we're actually going to do a Ryko Q&A, so be on the lookout on socials. Head to blowthebonnet.com/@blowthebonnet to watch that, and you can send in all your questions. Ask about Dave's beautiful jacket or, well, that great photo in the background there, Andre, of you kissing your snake, it looks like, with a set of white arms.
Or feel free to send Crusoe some hair clippers.
All right, boys.
If I make it to Sydney, I'm going to give you a mullet. I'm going
to
shave a mullet.
Yeah, I'll try to grow. Oh, it'll probably be a mullet by the time I'm allowed to get one, mate.
See you, boys. Thanks for that.
See ya.
See ya.